Thank you, Jerry and Joe, and we will talk to you guys tomorrow night. Another terrific win for the Blue Jays and a sensational game by Mark Burley and the defense, Brett Laurie, with two spectacular plays, Edwin Encarnacion and Colby Rasmus, each with one. The Blue Jays win it 3-0, two home runs for Jose Bautista. Phone lines are open. We're going to Blue Jays talk it up at 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. 8 2/3 innings, a four-hit shutout for Mark Burley. No walks and 11 strikeouts. One walk and 11 strikeouts. He should have had a complete game shutout, one could say. But the line drive smashed by Ben Zobrist with two out in the ninth went off the glove of Brett Laurie and into left field to extend things a little bit. Then again, if not for Brett Laurie's spectacular defensive plays in the fifth and sixth, the Rays would have scored a couple of runs. And the advanced metrics are lovely and helpful and all of that stuff, but something like defensive runs saved, we know that Brett Laurie actually saved two runs with his defense tonight. If he doesn't make the plays in the fifth and sixth, a run scores on each of those hits. So just remember that when you're looking at stuff like defensive run saves, defensive plus minus, and those sorts of things. Phone lines are open, and we are going to take your calls across the country to the bottom of the hour. And we'll keep the Blue Jays talk going all the way till 11 o'clock Eastern time on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet590.com. The Blue Jays are above 500 for the first time since last June. Actually, last June 22nd was the first time they were over 500 last year. The last time they were over 500 last year was June 26th. So it's the first time they've been over 500 since June 26th of last season. And it is the first time the Blue Jays have been in sole possession of first place in the American League East since opening day 2012 when they beat the Indians in that, 17-inning masterpiece won by J.P.R. and Sebia's three-run homer. Let's get to the phones. And let's add something else. A win tomorrow night, and the Blue Jays have their first series win on the road against Tampa Bay Rays since April of 2007. Zach is in Peterborough. You're going to lead things off on the Blue Jays talk. Welcome aboard.
Hey, Mike. How's it going?
Good. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say I thought Burley pitched a really good game today. He seemed really calm and composed. He had a great pace going with him, which is what I find when he's effective. He's got a good pace to his game. I also think that Bautista's really locked in early, which is a great sign for the team. I think that's great for them to have someone in the three-hole that can contribute like that. And I also just think there's a different vibe on the team this year. There just seems to be more of a calmness compared to last year. They were more tense last year, I found, because of the expectations. So yeah, I want to hear your thoughts on that.
I don't know if that's necessarily true. I think that they would all deny that, but I think those kinds of stories get built around, you know, when a team disappoints and then when a team exceeds expectations. I mean, I remember people last year complaining that they were too loose, right? That they, with all the Loviste thing and all the big, complicated high fives in the dugout and stuff. I think that we're just, you know, just enjoy the fact that they're winning and that they've won a couple of their first three games. You're absolutely right about Burley. I mean, that's the thing with him. No matter what, he is calm. And he works quickly, and he keeps that great pace going. And you can't knock him out of a game. Jose Molina hit him with a comebacker, and he's fine. And there have been like seven comebackers in the year and one start that he's pitched for the Blue Jays, and only one has knocked him out of the game, and that was just his last start of last season. And normally it probably wouldn't have. He's a bulldog out there, and it was wonderful to see him pitch really, really well, and great to see the defense behind him. Thanks, Zach. Appreciate the call. Blue Jays beat the Rays 3-0. Sneak one in before we have to let the rest of the country go. Brian is in Scarborough listening on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Hello, Brian.
Hello, Mike. Can you imagine how well Burley would have pitched today if he actually wanted to play for Toronto?
I know. Isn't that crazy? Last year, when Mark Burley started the season so terribly in April, so many people were calling and tweeting and saying, It's obvious that he has no interest in being with the Blue Jays. It's amazing.
Well, statistically, he's always a late starter, right? I'm looking forward to see how well he does in May. Typically, it's been May when he starts to take off, and yep. Right now he's a month ahead of schedule. And
well,
I'm
he's
really
one start.
Excited.
One start in April, right?
But what a start, though! Yes, it's not just a start, Mike. That was what a start.
Yep.
Anyway, I'm really excited about the Jays. Love what you guys are doing. Love the broadcast team. Keep it up, guys.
All right, thank you. Appreciate the call, Brian. A great job by Mark Burley tonight. Again, if Brett Laurie catches that line drive by Ben Zobrist, it's a complete game shutout with 11 strikeouts and one walk. Just a spectacular effort by the Blue Jays lefty. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. Joseph in London, welcome to the program.
Hey, how's it going?
Continues to be okay. Go ahead.
Oh, awesome. Just want to say, I mean, you probably heard this a million times, but the broadcast team with the fan, absolutely amazing. And I listen to a lot of different radio commentaries from all bunch of different teams off the MLB, but the Jays by far the best, hands down, by the way.
I don't think there's ever been any question about that. Thank you very much, Joseph. I appreciate that a lot.
But a couple things I want to talk about, besides the fact of Burley just pitching an absolute gem, and the one thing I did notice with Mark Burley is, and no offense to R.A. Dickey, and I'll use him as an example, but it's kind of like, and even with last year, when Burley's on the mound, it's almost like the defense behind Burley just knows that, okay, we're going to get a lot of ground balls. We know like there's going to be a lot of balls in play, and they seem a little bit more confident with that. And so I want to get your thoughts on that in a second. But another thing I wanted to bring up is, you've probably heard this before, but Adam Lind needs to get in and play regularly versus lefties.
Why?
And pardon me?
Why?
Why?
Adam Lind has proven over 900 career plate appearances in 8 seasons in the major leagues that he can't hit left-handed pitching.
Either can Ryan Howard.
Right.
So, I mean, but you got to give him a chance.
No. No, I agree with you on Ryan Howard. And the fact that Ryan Howard hits in the middle of the order on a consistent basis against left-handed pitching does a great disservice to the Philadelphia Phillies. And the same thing with Adam Lind. Adam Lind, I love Adam Lind. Love it. And we debated this on Twitter for a long time tonight. Adam Lind is a 9-hitter at best against left-handed pitching. He's a wonderful hitter against righties, and I love him, and I think he's great. And I want him in that middle of the order against a right-handed pitcher, but Adam has a lot of trouble against lefties, and he is not helping the team when he's in the lineup against left-handed pitching. We're up against the clock, so I got to let you go. If you're on hold, stay on hold. Even though I'm going to say goodbye in a couple of minutes, we're still going to keep the Blue Jays talk going on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. If you're not on hold, get on hold by giving us a call, 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Blue Jays blank the Rays, 3-0. It is the Honda Postgame Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Blue Jays blank the Tampa Bay Rays 3-0. And a win tomorrow night gets them their first series victory at T-Bay since 2007. Elsewhere around the big league scoreboard tonight, the Houston Astros lead the Yankees 2-0 in the top of the seventh. It's Jared Cosart throwing the shutout. Dexter Fowler led off the game for the Stros with a home run. Cleveland and Oakland playing 2. The A's took the opener 6-1. They're tied 2-2 in the bottom of the fourth. In the nightcap, it's 0-0 Seattle and the Angels in the top of the second. And earlier today, it was the Detroit Tigers getting the walk-off homer from Ian Kinsler, a 2-1 win over the Kansas City Royals in 10 innings. Blue Jays and Rays wrap this series up tomorrow. We're on at 7 o'clock Eastern for 7:10 first pitch. Brandon Morrow against Chris Archer. The Blue Jays talk continues on our flagship station. You've been listening to Home Hardware Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Home Hardware, homeowners helping homeowners with expert advice. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership and may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership or the Sportsnet Radio Network. For Jerry and Joe, Igor and Dan, I'm Mike. Bye-bye.
There's a high fly ball hit deep to left center field. Long, high, arching drive, and there she goes. Home run, Jose Bautista, his first of the year.
Jose Bautista would add his second of the year in the seventh inning. That first one came in the fourth. Jerry Howarth with the calls. The Blue Jays beat the Tampa Bay Rays 3-0. Mark Burley, 8 2/3 innings, a four-hit shutout. 11 strikeouts and only one walk. He was brilliant tonight, and his defense was fantastic behind him. Back-to-back highlight reel plays by Jonathan Diaz in the third, along with the two great grabs by Brett Laurie, one by Edwin Encarnacion to start a double play in the seventh, and one by Colby Rasmus off of James Loney in the second inning. Blue Jays are 2-1 and have an opportunity to win a series at the Rays for the first time in 7 years. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Blue Jays Talk. I'd give you the phone numbers, but all the lines are full, so you got to time yourself and wait till somebody hangs up. Rob is in Oshawa. Rob, welcome aboard.
Thanks, Mike.
What you got?
Mark Burley is a boss, man.
Mark Burley is a boss.
Tonight.
Yes.
He is.
He doesn't just pitch like a boss. He is a boss.
Oh, he is.
Yes.
Two things jump out at me, even though the season's only 3 games old.
Okay.
I love the hitting approach at the plate. They're doing what Boston did last year. I love it.
It's a little early to try to make that determination. It really is. I mean, nobody loved their hitting approach on Monday night, right? So
let's take
a while and let's see what develops over the course of the year. And, you know, as well, they're what, 0 for 5, 2 for 13... 3-for-22 with runners in scoring position so far this season.
I didn't know that. But the second thing that jumps out at me is I love Deonor Navarro. I love his pickup, the way he calls a game, the way he works with the pitchers, and his hitting approach. I love that. It's miles better than what was here last year.
It is miles better than what was here last year. Yeah, and people will, the pitchers will not really say that. I mean, they always gave J.Pierre and Sevilla credit, and I know that as the story of this season goes along, Rob, we're going to hear a lot of stories about Deonor Navarro and about how much he's going to improve this Blue Jays pitching staff. Some of them will be true. Some of them will be made up to kind of try to explain why the Blue Jays pitching is so much better this year than it was last year. But the truth of the matter is, Deonor Navarro or otherwise, the Blue Jays pitching staff should be a lot better than it was last year.
Oh, yeah. Especially with all the guys back healthy.
Exactly. Glad you enjoyed it. Mark Burley was spectacular tonight. But let's give the lion's share of the credit for that to Mark Burley. Owen, in Toronto, you're on the Blue Jays Talk. Go ahead.
Hi, Mike. Not only is Mark Burley a boss, but he's also ridiculous. That was one fantastic start.
That was a stretch, but I'll give it to you. All right. You get points.
Anyways, I just wanted to comment. You know, obviously, like I said, Burley was great. Bautista was very nice. You know, I was joking around with my brother. He's on pace for a lot of home runs after that one. But it was very exciting. The defense from Laurie obviously got me pumped up. I mean, Laurie is always playing great defense. I think it's the offense, but I think you'll have it. I think this year, I think we'll see an improvement in offense, at least I hope, just like every other Jays fan. And I just think it was a positive day. I mean, just great game. I'm not really sure. I was going to ask you, I'm not really sure why Mark Burley was taken out with 2 outs in the ninth inning. Maybe you can explain that.
Yeah, I was totally fine with that. I was really surprised to see Burley come back out for the ninth. I figured top of the lineup, fourth time through the order, let's go to a bullpen with a 3-0 lead, and that would be just absolutely lovely. But John Gibbons let him out there, and I'm sure he let him go back out and said, look, if you can get him in order, you can stay. If you can't, we're going to go to the pen. And that's the way it ought to have been, especially with Evan Longoria coming up. You know, you would much prefer Santos Longoria than Burley Longoria, especially when it's the fourth time they're facing each other in a game. So I have zero issue with Gibbons making that move right there.
Yeah, I totally understand.
Yeah.
All right, thank you, Mike, and just want to comment. Let's hope that the Jays finish just like the Raptors do this year.
Yeah. Are the Raptors going to finish? Are they going to win the division? Is that the way they might win the division? We'll see. It's a lot easier to make the playoffs in basketball than it is in baseball, but it would be nice if this city had a lot of playoff teams to be happy about. Guy is in Ajax. You're on the Blue Jays talk. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, Mike, it's Guy.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Hey, no problem, no problems. The guy, a couple callers kind of stole my thunder. I wanted to just comment, with all the moves that Antopoulos made 2 years ago, it might be the one move that he made this year is what actually saves his job. Navarro, with the addition of, by subtraction of Aaron Sebia and Johnson, and getting a guy tonight like Navarro, one thing you didn't really hear last year was how the pitchers were painting the corners. I mean, and the way he handled Hutchinson in his first game back in 2 years. And I know it's only three games in, but yeah, I mean, you look at Aaron Sebia, his first game in Texas, you know, they scored 15 runs off a guy in his first career start. And again, I don't want to put it all on Aaron Sebia, but important having a good catcher. Like,
here's what I don't get, and I know that everyone wants to crap on J.P. Arencibia for being a bad catcher and a poor game caller, but how do you explain that Mark Burley last year, pitching to J.P. Arencibia in every start but one or two, had the exact same year he's had every year in his career?
But you're talking about one pitcher. I'm talking about the whole pitching staff. Burley's a veteran.
Burley hasn't called his own game in 10 years. He hasn't shaken off a catcher since 2004. He relies on a catcher more than anybody else. I mean, he's great at executing whatever he's asked to throw, for sure.
However, you don't think the fact that Navarro's in there, there's no reason why this team is healthy with the pitchers that they have. Can improve by 20 games just for the two reasons of, again, with Johnson no longer being here. He was a bust every single start with the exception of two wins, I think.
Yep.
And, you know, Aaron Sebia, as bad as he was at the plate, I mean, he cost his team at least a dozen games with his bat.
That's not close to true, and neither is what you're about to say about his defense.
Well, I beg to differ. I mean, how many times was he, you know, in a position to drive in a run with less than two outs and couldn't drive a guy in? And, you know, you said it yourself. You said it so many times. He's having one of the worst years in the history of
baseball. You're absolutely right. He did not cost them a dozen games with his bat.
Okay.
But, well, like I said to that caller that you said stole your thunder, if the Blue Jays do well this year, Deonner Navarro is going to get a lot of credit, whether he deserves it or not. And that's fine, but like you said earlier, if they're healthy, there's no reason that they can't win 20 more games than they did last year. And honestly, I don't think that has anything to do with J.P. Arencibia. That has far more to do with the team being healthy.
And just one more question, and I'll hang up and listen.
Sure.
With this new kid, Diaz, coming up, and I know he's only in there until Reyes comes back, do you think he has a chance to overtake Goins? I'll hang up and listen.
I don't know. It's an interesting idea. I mean, it depends on how Goins does. Diaz is certainly Goins' equal defensively, if not a little bit better. And I was going to say, but Goins has more time at second base, which he does, but only in the big leagues, right? Only those 40 games he never played defense. He never played second before. So Jonathan Diaz is a phenomenal defender. He's not a good hitter. Ryan Goins is a phenomenal defender. He's not a good hitter. We'll see what happens over the course of the time that Reyes is away. Yeah. Reggie in Pickering. Reggie, welcome aboard.
Thank you, Mike. Wanted to discuss a couple topics with you tonight. Number one, Dickey. Every time I see Dickey hit the mound, and I hear more about what's coming from the Mets organization, I cringe more and more. I cringe. I hear this kid Syndergaard's over there throwing high 90s heat, letting up MLB hitting, and also Darno. Darno now looks good over there as well. So, You know, I think we kind of got the shorter end of the stick on that deal. Mike, how do you feel about that?
I feel like Noah Syndergaard has not thrown a pitch in the major leagues yet, and isn't going to anytime terribly soon. And Travis d'Arnaud has played two games for the Mets this year. Yeah, he's their starting catcher. I think it's far, far too early to pass judgment on that trade. Far too early. R.A. Dickey could still very well win, you know, 15-plus for the Blue Jays this year. He had one bad start. He was fine last year, and he was actually quite good once he got healthy. So, no.
Yeah, I agree, but I just don't like the eighth of our staff being a knuckleballer.
Well, but you know what? When push comes to shove, and once we get deep into the season, he's probably not going to be the ace of the staff.
No, right now it's looking like Big Hutch.
Well, again, one start, right? One start,
but before he went into Tommy John land, he was looking like the same kid.
Yeah, he certainly is.
Yep. So, and one more thing I wanted to run by you, Mike, before you go. I was wondering if the Jays have any possibility of pulling off a blockbuster right now.
No.
Let me run it by you. Kawasaki?
Yeah.
For Bryce Harper?
Yes. I would do that deal in a heartbeat. Absolutely, Reggie.
Thank you.
Thank you for the call. In a heartbeat. Who hangs up first if you make that proposal? Paul in Toronto, you're next on the Blue Jays Talk.
Hi, Mike. My comments on tonight's game, I thought it was a great game all around for the team, and I was really impressed with Gibby's management. Bringing in Lynn when he did, bringing in Goins to run for him, bringing in Santos. How did you feel about Gibby's managing the game against Madden?
Well, I think John Gibbons is a wonderful manager, and I've always thought that. As a tactician, he's phenomenal, and he did it today. You know what? He had, in the sixth inning, the Blue Jays had runners at second and third with two out. The Rays went to a righty. It may have been Gibbons' only chance to get Adam Lind in a game against a righty without the Rays being able to bring in a Jake McGee or a Cesar Ramos. And it was a big spot in that game. So, yes, that was a perfect time to use him. Of course, you run Goins for him because Goins coming in to play defense anyway. So, sure, that's the right move. And I already talked earlier about taking out Burley when he did for the Santos-Longoria matchup. So, yeah, as far as I'm concerned, John Gibbons pushed all the right buttons tonight.
Yes, he certainly did. And it was a great game by the team all the way around. Pitching, defense, hitting was all there tonight.
Yes. Thank you, Paul. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Blue Jays beat the Rays 3-0. Chris is in St. Catharines. Chris.
Thanks, Mike, for taking my call.
Thank you for calling.
Just got a few questions. It was a great game tonight. I'm not going to be like everyone else and talk long term. I mean, like you said, it's only three games. Let's wait and see how the season plays out. It's way too early to judge. My question, however, was pretty much about the starting staff and the back end, Morrow and McGowan. I was just wondering, with the way that Morrow performed in the spring training, how big a leash would you say he probably has for this year? And what would be the possibilities of bringing up maybe Ricky Romero if he performs great in AAA as opposed to what Morrow's doing in the majors?
I don't think anybody's taking Brandon Morrow's job. I think if Brandon Morrow is healthy, he is in this rotation, and there's no reason at all to believe that if Brandon Morrow is healthy, he's not going to pitch well.
So you feel based on his stats from last year, you feel based on his performance thus far with the Jays, I mean,
based on his career and his stuff and how good he is. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Brandon Morrow's really good. That's the thing. Last year he was hurt. The year before that he was spectacular.
Right, yes. He was hurt. But what about McGowan?
What about McGowan?
And being given the fifth starting role.
Yes.
How big, at least, do you think that is? Was it more of an emergency spot with the situation with J.A. Happ, or do you think that it's his to keep, provided he's consistent? He doesn't have to blow people away and go, you know, 6-0 in his first seven or eight starts, but how big a leash would you say McGowan would have, provided his arm holds up?
I don't think there are any leashes on any Blue Jay starting pitchers. I really don't. I think that they're all really terrific. And, you know, Dickey is Dickey with the knuckleball, and the knuckleball is a capricious animal, and we all know that. But Mark Burley is going to be Mark Burley, and Morrow, McGowan, and Hutchison have off-the-chart stuff. And Hutchison has great command of it. I don't think there are any leashes. I don't think anybody's worried about anybody for any reason other than health.
So because of the expectations being as low as they are?
No, because these guys are really good pitchers. They are healthy. It's the best 3-4-5 in Major League Baseball.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for taking my call, and you have a good night.
All right. Thank you. These guys are really, really good. It's just a matter of whether or not they can stay healthy. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Nick in Toronto, you're on the Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, Mike, how's it going? Great game tonight. I think the thing with that's going to complement this pitching staff this year, if they're healthy, is just how good our defense should be based on with Laurie and the guys up the middle. I mean, Burley was averaging like 11 pitches going into the seventh inning, and that's going to give our guys that extra chance. I mean, if they're not out there for an extra two batters a game or an inning, whatever, it's just going to go that extra mile to getting those guys getting those quality starts and going deep in the game, and that's a huge difference that we didn't have last year.
You are 100% right.
It's going to save us. That's going to give us a lot of wins right there. Like if Laurie can make up for his bat with, you know, the way he plays in the field, and even if Reyes is out, I mean, we might save some runs by having Diaz out there and Goins out there. And I think that's going to make a bit of a difference going late in the season to save our guys a lot of innings pitching.
Yeah, I think you're right. The defense on the infield is phenomenal. Part of the reason that the Blue Jays starting pitchers had such a hard time in the early part of last year was because there was a lot of Emilio Bonifacio at second and Meiser Estures at third. There was even some Mark DeRosa at second base. And that wasn't any good for anybody. The difference in the defense between then and now is it's almost immeasurable how much better
it's
going.
It's underrated. I mean, even Encarnacion, people don't give him much credit, but like that guy's he's becoming a great first baseman. And I think that double play that he turned, I mean, we can keep turning those. I think it's going to save our guys a lot of pitches.
Yeah, he's always been really, really good, provided he hasn't had to throw the ball. And making that throw to second, he's still pretty strong with that. Appreciate the call. We want to get some more people before we go. A 3-0 win for the Blue Jays over the Rays. Michael is in Kansas City, long distance style. Welcome to the Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, Mike, how's it going?
Good,
I don't
want to
ask you that, actually, never mind. But first-time caller, watched the game tonight, and I was really, really impressed to see Diddy tonight in the ninth when he pulled Burley. And then he went with Sergio against Jesus Blitz against Longoria. But you don't see a lot of managers go to Cecil there against Joyce, which was nice to see. I just want to get your thoughts on that. And also about potentially maybe finding an external second base option, because I don't think Goins is the guy for us right now.
Well, I have no problem with Goins' defense. And I think run prevention is really important. And it's led to, you know, the Tampa Bay Rays being as good as they've been the last few years. So I'm happy to have an airtight defense up the middle at second and short with Goins and Diaz right now.
I don't understand that, but do you think a guy like a Stephen Drew potentially could do that airtight defense and also providing some offense as well?
Well, no, because he's not nearly as good a defender as Goins is, for one thing. But for another thing, he wants $14 million.
Money should be no issue for Rodgers. Come on.
But just because you have it doesn't mean you need to set it on fire. He's not worth that kind of money. He's not worth close to that kind of money.
That's true, but, like, I would say he's not worth the $14 million you get, but he's definitely more valuable player than Goins is at this point in his career.
Sure. I don't disagree with that, but you still have to be able to get him at a reasonable amount. Otherwise, you know, why not make any incremental improvement on your team, no matter what it costs you, right?
Oh yeah, no. I mean, I'm in the spot. I've been watching this team for what 22 years now, and
awesome.
Rodgers is the richest ownership in sports,
yep.
And yet I feel as though we aren't spending the necessary money to win. That's my only issue with it.
Yeah, I disagree. I mean, I think that if there's a guy to get for what he's worth or a little bit more than what he's worth, then you go do it. You're given $14 million and a second round draft picks to sign Stephen Drew. That's way more than anything reasonable to get him. And you know what? I understand that there's a lot of concern over the fact that he's not a good hitter. We don't know. He's 273 lifetime hitter in the minor leagues, but everyone expects him to hit a .190 in the majors.
But the
fact is, nobody has a team with guys who rake from top to bottom of the order. National League teams score 6-7 runs all the time with nobody hitting 8th and 9th. So
we're playing in the American League East. These teams are spending more than us. They're
developing
better players better than us. We need to spend to keep up with these teams. We're not playing in the quadruple A National League right now.
Not spend foolishly.
I couldn't hear you. I said cut off.
They have to not spend foolishly, and that's what Stephen Drew would be.
Oh, okay, that makes sense. But do you think he's a more viable option after the draft then?
Not if he still wants $14 million a year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for taking my call, Mike. I always enjoy your show. I listen to it when I'm back home from school. So.
Awesome. Well, thanks for listening down in KC as well. Appreciate it, Michael. Thank you for the call. 3-0 Blue Jays win. Mark Burley was fantastic. We are Blue Jays talking it up to the top of the hour. Rocco in Toronto. Rocco, welcome to the Blue Jays talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hey, Mike. You know, I'm thinking Mark Burley, Cy Young.
Well, if they were voting today, he'd win it.
No, but this is kind of I want to take the conversation in slightly different directions. It came up a bit earlier. You're kind of joking. Somebody talking about, you know, if Burley was actually wanted to be in Toronto. And I was just wondering if this is a thing. Because I think about it all the time. I'm wondering, you know, how many of these guys really want to be up here? And then I'm also like, well, they're professional baseball players, so they can suck it up. But I'm wondering if you got any stories or if you ever talked to any of the guys about this.
The only Blue Jay that I knew who really, really, really didn't want to be in Toronto was Scott Rolen. That's the only one. Everybody else, and everybody, but you know, they're only going to tell me so much, right? But once they get here, they love it. So I really, you know, I've never heard anyone complain. I remember Greg Zahn when he was a player saying, Canada is just like the United States, but everything is a little bit different. Everything is just a tiny bit different. Like, you know, for me, my frame of reference, I think, well, here the Fruity Pebbles are made of rice and there they're made of corn, and or the other way around. And, you know, things are just a bit different. But the city is so wonderful that most players fall in love with it. So, no, the only Blue Jay I've ever known who really, really seriously wanted to get out of Toronto was Scott Rolen. Shlomo's in Toronto. Welcome to the Blue Jays talk, sir.
Hey, how's it going, Michael?
Still good, thank you. Go ahead.
Hey, Michael, I want to know your opinion, how you feel about everybody calling up all the time complaining with Suris, and then now the Jays do well 2 games now, the whole tide turns so quickly. I was wondering, do you take it personally?
What I do take personally, Shlomo, is your little attempt at humor that's probably very racist and not funny in the least. That's what I take personally. Thank you. Let's get one more call in. Cam is in Kitchener. Let's go to Cam in Kitchener. What the heck? Hey, Cam.
Hey, how's it going, Mike? Quick question for you.
Yeah.
I was hearing some rumors about the Jays moving their spring training from Dunedin to West Palm. Is any of that, like, still going through, or is that totally, like, out the window?
No, it's not. It's not happening anymore. What had happened was that the Houston Astros wanted to move to West Palm Beach from Kissimmee, and they wanted a partner to go with them for a shared facility. And there was some land there that the Astros owners owned, and he wanted to put the stadium there. But city council in West Palm said no. It was too close to something, too far from something else. And in a very short-sighted move, they said they did not want to issue the permits to build the facility there in West Palm Beach. So that didn't happen. And now apparently the Astros are looking still to move somewhere down on the east coast of Florida, but they are looking for another partner to do it with. So it looks for now like the Blue Jays are going to stay in Dunedin. I think they have 2 years left, 3 years left. On their lease. And yeah, then they'll be, then we'll see. Because I don't know what's going to happen. I know that the Blue Jays would like their minor league complex to be in the same place as their major league stadium. Like almost everybody else has it. And that's not happening in Dunedin. So I know they want to either improve that or find somewhere else to play. But we'll see. We'll see what happens in the next couple of years. The Blue Jays beat the Rays by a score of 3-0. Mark Burley was spectacular. 8 2/3 innings, a 4-hit shutout with 11 strikeouts against just one walk. Sergio Santos came in, walked Evan Longoria, but then on came Brett Cecil to strike out pinch hitter Matt Joyce on just 4 pitches and pick up only his second career save. 2 home runs for Jose Bautista. The Blue Jays are 2-1 on the season, in sole possession of first place in the AL East for the first time since April 5th, 2012. Above 500 for the first time since last June 26th. Let's do this all again tomorrow. See if the Jays can win a series at the Rays for the first time in 7 years. It'll be Brandon Morrow against Chris Archer. We're on at 7 Eastern for a 7:10 first pitch. Thanks to all for calling. Thanks to all for listening. Thanks to Igor Enriquez and Dan Riccio. I'm Mike Wilner. See you tomorrow at 11 a.m.